That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning. It's almost the end of December, December 30th, 2023. And we've got some men online. Jason, are you there this morning?
Yep.
Hey, good morning, sir. And Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Didn't know if anybody else had come on yet this morning. Might have a couple more step in, but that's all right. And we say, Remnant, good morning to you. Thank you for taking time out of your morning, getting up early, depending on where you're at, and tuning in and joining us. But we're glad you're here. And Jason, you want to open us up in prayer this morning?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction we are to go. We pray that you be with your remnant across this land. And just we cry out to you for you to save this land once again. We're grateful that you are our King and that we serve a mighty and a just King. And Lord, we put our trust in you, and we don't know what the outcome is and how this is going to work out, but we know that you're in control. And we just ask that you just be there, lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And well, Remnant, we'll start off letting you know that we do have the Bible reading plan set up for 2024. And we've sent quite a few out already. And if you would like one, if you contact us, we'll send it to you. We've got it going out in an email as well to those of you that get our emails. And it's at the website. You can look at it there. You can print it off at the website. And it's in our Dragon Slayer Volume 8 that, well, if you hadn't got it this week, hopefully it'll be in today's mail. And the first part of it, the first page is in that newsletter as well, so you can take a look and get started. We encourage you to read your Bible, If you want to know a better explanation of what's going on, a better explanation than CNN's going to give you, read your Bible. When we read our Bible, when we look at it, especially with the understanding that the Bible is a story about God and His people. It's a story of a people that God chose, starting with Abraham, throughout the Old Testament and then into the New Testament, same people, how they interact with the other peoples of the world and how those other peoples interact with them, and the instructions that those people are given, our people, we are given. And we understand that we are those people because, well, our people have heard the call of Jesus Christ. Our people have heard the call of the Great Commission and gone into all the world and preached the gospel. And our people hear His voice. And His word says, my sheep hear my voice. And so, anyway, we encourage you to read the word. It's a real simple plan this year. You know, in years past, we've done different plans, some chronological plans, and you know, maybe a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament every day, and there's certainly nothing wrong with any of those. Our plan this year is real simple. Start in Genesis, read about 3 chapters a day. And so that's what the plan is. And so we have it in print form for you. We can email it to you. You can get it on your phone. And it's a tool to help remind you, to keep you on track. And so we encourage you to do that. And again, we'd be glad to mail you one. We've had people that have asked for 10 and 20, planning on passing them out and working out little Bible reading clubs and coffee groups and things like that in their area. And you can't go wrong with something like that. So we'll be glad to send you that Bible reading plan if that's if you'd like. And if you don't have it yet, again, on January 1st, start in Genesis. Read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 on January 1st. And the next day, read about the next 3 chapters. And that'll keep you on track if you want to send off in the mail and get this Bible reading plan. You just don't have it yet. Well, guys, the end of the year, we were talking right before the broadcast came on about just how quick it's come, how fast the year has gone. Thoughts on that? I guess we'll start off with that, guys.
No, it's just been, it's been another year. We talk about that every year, that how fast the year goes by, and it seems like time is going by rather fast. A lot of things going on. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Colorado's been in the news quite a bit, and they had this, taking Trump off of the ballots and this and that. And one of the things, I got a bad echo in here, and it's just really hard to listen to. I don't know what we can do to
get that fixed. I'll see what I can. Go ahead. Keep talking.
They're having a rally, and it's kind of a Trump rally, but it's a protest rally that's starting today at 7:30 in Timnath, and it's headed down to Colorado Springs. And it's at first they said that there was a few people that were going to be there, and then it's a few more, and then it's a few more, and they're expecting hundreds of them now. And it'll be interesting, but it's neat to see the people's support and people coming out and saying, no, we've had enough. To stand up for something that they believe in and to fight back. And I think that we're seeing that on so many different fronts and on so many different subjects. People are realizing what the government's telling them isn't true, and that there is this thing such fake media. And that's one thing that I noticed, is just trying to find information has gotten harder and harder and harder. And you see stuff 1 minute, and unless you print it or screenshot it, you can go back to the same place, and it will be gone. And information is is a weapon, and that's one thing that they've, you know, try to limit it, try to change this, try to change the facts. And, you know, we're told about that in the Bible, to beware of the scribes and the Pharisees, and there's nothing new under the sun. They're doing the same thing yesterday and today, just the same. And, you know, just the way that, you know, we've just got to continue to think in the ways of, you know, terms of warfare, and how our enemies are fighting against us, against I mean, we're getting fought against our race, our religion, our beliefs, our freedoms. This week, well, it was last week, I noticed that they had these cameras that have started appearing here in Larimer County, and I had heard about them, but I hadn't seen them. And sure enough, I started looking for them, and it's one of those things, and unless you know what you're looking for, they're really hard to find. And there's one strategically placed right there at the intersection where you turn in to go down to our church building. And it's something that, you, unless you know what you're looking for, you wouldn't even know that they're there. And they've got a solar panel on them, and they've got a camera mounted up there. And then I'm looking just a little bit north of that, and there's an intersection, and they've got one facing the road that's headed north and south, watching traffic go in that direction, and then there's one going east and west. And we're not a big city by any means. I mean, we're a town that is basically, it's got one grocery store and one gas station and an intersection, and, I mean, there's not very many people. We're considered rural, and we don't have a police department or anything like that. It's, you know, small town Colorado. So I excuse me, I called the sheriff's department, and I said, what's the deal with these cameras? And they said, well, you know, where are they? And I told them exactly where the three that I had seen were, and they said, well, they're not ours. We'll check the map. And they came back, and they said, well, they're not ours. And I said, well, then we've got a real problem. If they're watching all this traffic, and you don't have any idea where this information's going or what kind of data they're collecting, then we've got a serious problem. And, well, we'll dig into it. And they had me talk to another officer, and I gave them the information, and about an hour later, I got a call back, and they said, well, that is, those are our cameras. It's part of our Flock system. And I said, Flock system, what is this? And they said, well, you know, why does it concern you? And I said, well, because I'm a concerned citizen. And I said, I've got people that are talking to me and wanting to know what is going on. And I'm, you know, an independent journalist, and I want to know, you know, what's going on in the community. I need to know what to tell people. And they said, okay, well, it's not like it's private information or anything. I'm like, well, no, they're in public, so they are public information. You know, what is the deal? And they said, well, it's we're looking for dangerous criminals, and we're looking for stolen vehicles. And I said, so has that been a problem in LaPorte, Colorado? Well, no, but their license plate tracking cameras, and so they look for stolen license plates, and they alert police if there's a stolen vehicle, or if somebody has outstanding warrants for their arrest. If they're a dangerous criminal, then we can go and arrest them. And so we talked to them, but one gentleman that I know, his brother-in-law was up in a town just north of us, and he was basically, from what I understand, is they track patterns also. So they're using AI to track people's patterns, so they can figure out where they're going to be at what time. And this person pulled into a local gas station, Grubhub, you know, joint to get something for breakfast, and the sheriff's department was waiting for him. And he promptly got arrested and pulled out of his vehicle and argued with the cops for 30 minutes, and they said, well, this is a stolen vehicle. He's like, I've owned this vehicle for 10 years. It's not a stolen vehicle. And argued and argued and argued with him until his wife finally ended up bringing the title down and showing the officers the title for the vehicle to prove that, that they had ownership of it. And, you know, it shows that what they're doing isn't working, but it also tells you that, you know, anymore, you know, we are taught that a person is innocent until proven guilty. And that's just not the case anymore. I mean, I've heard that said over and over and over, and I've heard people quote that. And I haven't seen that. You know, they've continued to, you know, these police officers, these sheriff's departments, they always put you in the position where you have to prove that you're innocent. You're automatically presumed guilty. And so anyway, I came back and I started doing a bunch of research on these flock cameras, and that's what they are called. And they are there's a lot of information on them. I didn't realize how much they do, but this one article says from Pasadena, California to Lexington, Kentucky, surveillance company Flock Safety is blanketing America's cities with dangerously powerful and unregulated automatic license plate recognition, ALPR cameras. While license plate readers have been around for some time, Flock is the first to create a nationwide mass surveillance system out of its customers' cameras. Working with police departments, neighborhood watches, and other private customers, Flock not only allows private camera owners to create their own hot list that will generate alarms when listed plates are spotted, but also runs all the plates against the state police watch list and the FBI's primary criminal database, the National Crime Information Center, NCIC. Flock's goal is to expand to every city in the United States, and its cameras are already in use in over 2,000 cities in at least 42 states. And it goes on and on, and I posted this article at the Newswire on SFAWBN. Really good information, but, you know, it tells you, and you can go in there, and it's people that there's people that are putting these up in just neighborhoods, and, you know, all you drive through that neighborhood, and your license plate is sent, you know, to all of these different databases and checked against all these different databases. And, you know, it's just, talk about an invasion of privacy. There's people that are fighting back against it, and I hope we get somewhere, but, I mean, it's, you know, talk about it, that's exactly what it is an invasion of privacy. And, you know, it's something that we need to be aware of. People need to know. It's you know, it's one of those things is what are you going to do to fight it and how are you going to fight it? But there's people that are fighting back against it. So I encourage people to, you know, fight against it.
Amen. And they have to know about it.
There's no.
Go ahead, Paul.
There's no respect for a person's property and person.
Right.
You know, they think they're God. They control all this. And, you know, anybody that, you know, they're tracking you, and they can probably put you out of business, just like this guy. He had nothing. They just, I don't know what kind of person he was. No one knew. He probably wasn't on their side. So, yeah, they know more about me than I know about me. I don't care that much.
I know. That's what you were here at this time, and you were here at this time, and you were here at this time. Okay, if you say so. I don't remember that far back.
No, but they're just drunk on the blood of the saints. You know, they want control. You know, they've been building a system for a long, long time. You know, but, you know, with all the people coming across the border, you know, just inundating this place, God set it up. You know, he sets in the heavens and laugh. They got all this stuff, and I spend all this money doing this kind of stuff and like that. But they're not going to win. You know, that's the good part.
Right, right. Yeah, well, yeah. And we know that, and that, you know, and we know that and believe that. And that's one of the things. It's like I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want to scare people. And people will be like, you know, there's people that are like, oh, they're doing this, and, you know, you can't go outside, and they're watching us from the satellites and this and that. Okay, it's like, but I do want people to be aware of what they're doing, because if they're not aware of what they're doing, then they can't say anything. And, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, even me just talking with these officers, I told them what a bunch of garbage, didn't use those exact words, but what I thought of this whole thing, and then I thought it was an invasion of privacy, and they agreed with me. And, you know, it's they don't like it. And but, you know, it's something that is going on. And, you know, it's just this technology is changing so fast. It's scary. I mean, it's to a degree. If you weren't a Christian, didn't have faith in the Lord, it'd be really scary. But to see how far these advances have come with artificial intelligence and stuff, and the things that they're doing is just, I mean, it sometimes it just stops and blows your mind.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, these phones, you know, they know how you think. They put words up, you know. They just know how you think. The phones even know that. So, yeah, it's spooky. But God sets in the heaven lab. We can't forget that, because they've been working for years to get to this position. You know, back in the 1800s, I see where a Jew wrote it. He said, we have to get control of the news media. Well, they done got all of that control. Yeah, but they've been working their whole life to get in this position, and the good part is it fails. You know, it'll turn on themselves. So, you know, God says that their plans end up taking care of them. So, yeah, it's a really good time to have faith, because if you were kind of intimidated by what you just talked about, it's kind of scary. But on the other hand, it isn't. So.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we need to remember is faith cancels out fear. And when we put our faith in God and put our faith in, you know, what he can do for us, that will cancel out all the fears of, you know, what our enemies can do against us and what they can do for us. You know, it's one cancels out the other. So if we have fear of our government, what the government's going to do to us and how they're going to deal with us, then, you know, that cancels out our faith also.
Definitely.
Amen.
Definitely. God said there's a remnant that will be saved, and we have to stand on that. Yeah, people have got to look at just what you said. You noticed and seen it like that, you know, but 99% of the people have no idea what's going on. You know, these cameras around these intersections, they have been for a long time, but I don't really think we know all that they know. They track our habits. They know what we are. They know all about you, Jason, and me.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting how, you know, and it's interesting. If you look at this intersection and where they place these cameras, it's very, very, very interesting. I'll try to get some pictures of it and get them posted, but it's just the way and where they put them is definitely interesting, and I think that it shows that they I'm going to look around at some of these other churches' buildings and see where they have them close to them and stuff. But I think that I think that they've actually got a fear of the churches, or at least one.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, well, you go. They know. You know, look at the tax system. They've given churches breaks. They've given farmers breaks, because those were the two people that would have rebelled the most. But now they feel like they're special, you know. And but they're still, you know, well, an attorney has no standing in court without a client, which means the people have the power. But if you go into court on your own accord and stuff like that, they'll just walk all over you. But an attorney has absolutely no power over anything without a client, which means the people have the power if they would use it. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. Yeah, it's going to boil down to simplicity again.
Hey, amen. I agree. I got an email that that Red Diver sent in last night. Well, about 7 hours ago. So yeah, I'd say that was late last night, and it talked about America's tribulation. And it starts off, and I think that I'm going to read the first part of this, because the first part of it is he just goes through a bunch of scriptures. But I think that it's fitting for what we're talking about. It says, "Kingdom of Light versus the Kingdom of Darkness." A study in America's tribulation. John 3:19-20 says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Acts 26:17-18 says, I am sending you to them to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in me. Hosea 4:6-7 says, My people is like one that hath not knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, therefore I will reject thee from being my priest. As thou hast forgotten the law of God, I also will forget thy children. In preparation and in the increase of sins against me, I will turn their glory into shame. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-13 says, The coming of the lawless will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth, and so to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged, who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we ought to always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in truth. Jeremiah 4:10 says, Then I said, Ah, Sovereign Lord, how completely you have deceived this people and Jerusalem by saying, You will have peace, when the sword is at our throats. 2 Chronicles 11:20 says, When someone makes you slaves, consume your wealth, seizes your property, orders you around, or slaps your face, you put up with it. Hebrews 2:13 says, And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children there in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And it goes on and on, and I'm going to get this posted here. I'll have it posted momentarily on the Newswire, but a really good article. But it, and I mean, that was just purely scriptures there that put together, and it makes so much sense. And it talks about, you know, kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness, and what are we going to be in, and what are we going to be a part of? And you know, sometimes we got to take just stop and take our thoughts captive. And make a conscious decision: is this part of the kingdom of light, or is this part of the kingdom of darkness? Am I making a decision based on, you know, is this the right decision for a kingdom, or a wrong decision for a kingdom? And does that make sense, Paul?
Yeah, all the sense in the world. You know, years ago, this guy, I can't remember his name, he wrote a book, Kingdoms in Conflict. I never read it before. It might have been, I don't know, Nixon or somebody was in, got kicked out or whatever, but it was Olson. He wrote the book Kingdoms in Conflict, and I never read it, but that's the truth, and that's what you just said here. We got the kingdom of lightness and the kingdom of dark, and you know, darkness don't like to be exposed. So if you have the light, we have nothing to hide. You know, if they want to take pictures of me, that's fine. I'm in a good mood, I'll smile. You know. If I'm not, they can just take what they get. So, it's kingdoms in conflict, and we win. You know, with all these people pouring over the borders, you know, that's kind of God's judgment on us. Also, is because He said, "Yeah, the stranger will rule over you, and they'll consume you." Read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. You know, they're going to consume us. They're doing it. You know, what I reading this morning. You know, we got our people. It was in the Range magazine. Our people are sleeping in the street, and the people from coming over the border get to stay in the hotels. You know, it's kind of like God's rubbing our nose right in the dirt, because what is it going to take to wake us up?
Yeah, the latest I heard on that, Paul, was they said even in Detroit, that as because of all the illegals that they bust and flown up there, that they're looking at private residences to help out with staffing them and giving them somewhere to stay. And, you know, that reeks of what led to the Revolutionary War. So you know, who knows if it's just a blurb or something to rile people up, or if it's a true reporting. We'll have to wait and see. But I like how you brought that out, Jason, that, you know, the people need to know, like on these flock cameras, you know, it if you don't know, you can't pray about it. If you don't know you're at war, how do you fight against that? And you know, the scripture tells us, just like you guys were saying, you know, it's either his kingdom, the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of darkness, and you choose which one you're going to be in. It's not that, well, we just have no choice. No, you do have a choice. You know, we're in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. And when you choose that kingdom of light, and I would encourage you to read your Bible to find out what that is and how you get into it. And we'll be glad to help you with that here at the ministry if we can, if you contact us. That you see, there's these cameras that are out there. And yes, there's this economy that is impacting everyone. And yes, we are absolutely being invaded. And the America that we knew, the America that we grew up with, that we heard our parents talk about and stuff, that America's gone. It is changing drastically. And you know, but like you men said, it's not that we have to fear that. We just have to make sure that we're in a kingdom that is greater than America. And that's not a foreign country. But that we are in that kingdom of light here in this land that was given to us. You know, in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9 verse 36 says, "But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land that you gave our ancestors, so our ancestors could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces." And again, you know, that story of Joseph in Egypt comes to mind. You know, when Joseph, he delivered Egypt through famine and his family moves in and they settle in the good land, and they were, you know, they at that time they had saved Egypt. They were very well respected and loved, and but things changed over a few hundred years to where they were slaves. And we're living that story again. And the more you read that story, I think the more you see that it applies to us where we are today. From the leader that arose that knew not Joseph, or I'll add, didn't know Joseph's God, and oppressed those that had saved the descendants of those that had saved the country. And we see that today. The descendants of those that founded this country, that built this country, that bled and worked and built the civilization that we have here in this nation, that they are, as Nehemiah says, slaves in the land today. Economic slaves. You see that there are more and more families are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, where they once might have been more upper middle class. But the goal there, you can't have slaves that are middle class. And so we're seeing the destruction of that. But again, it's to be aware of it, but not to fear it. And there is whether you call it a way out or what, but there is. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." And it takes discipline to do that. It takes you know, you have to make a choice to do that, to look to His Word and to obey what it says, where it says to look at things that are right and pure and proper and correct and focus on those things. It's tough to do that. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, there's ways to get tough enough to do that. There's ways to develop those habits in reading your Bible. I go back to the Bible reading plan. It's just a help. You make that habit. You're looking to the Word. You're saying your prayers, doing those things. You're going to God in prayer. Well, then you know, when you were mentioning those cameras, Jason, I thought, you know, that'd be a great target for an imprecatory prayer. And you can do that individually, people. You know, if you're armored up, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you can certainly pray against those specific things that the enemy does to make God's people slaves. And anyway, it is. If we're aware of these things, we can pray against these things. Once you know you're in war, you realize you have an enemy, and you can stop living and acting like you're not at war. That's a big first step for so many.
Yeah, it's it's just hard to believe. I mean, time's been going so fast. End of the year. You know, stepping out of the year 2023 and into the year 2024, and the things that we've seen happen in the last year, the things that you know we'll see in 2024. It's like, you know, I don't know what the Lord has for us next, but and one thing that you know used to be a pretty common practice was New Year's resolutions and New Year's parties, New Year's resolutions, and you know, talk to a lot of people, and you know, I've heard a lot of people just say, well, it's not even our calendar, and it's not even this, you know, it's not our calendar. It's, you know, it's a different calendar, and we should be keeping a different calendar, and this and that. Well, you know, okay, that's fine and dandy, but we don't. This is the calendar that we're on, you know, here, you know, in the United States and the world. And universally, it is, you know, called the end of the year and the beginning of a new year. And, you know, I do encourage people to make New Year's resolutions, because I think that, you know, when people have a time and they want to put things away and they want to change, it is a good idea. It's, you know, it's something that it's effective and it works for people that, you know, if they set a time and they say, okay, I am going to start reading the Bible, you know, on January 1st, and they stick with it, you know, good for them. You know, that's great. Don't need to be giving them a hard time, because it's not the calendar that we're keeping or this or that. It's somebody making a conscious decision to do something and to change. And that's what, you know, that's what we're here to do, and to encourage people to do just that. I mean, there's people that make all different kinds of New Year's resolutions, and I encourage people to, you know, to make those, to, you know, to better themselves in 2024. You know, I want to be a better Christian in 2024 than I was in 23. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better steward of what God has given me. I want to, you know, fight that good fight of faith better than I did last year. And I've got a list of what things that I want to improve in my life in 2024, and I want to do a better job in 24 than I did in 23. I want to get more done. I'm going to push harder. I'm going to, you know, work harder, work smarter. I got a lot of things that I want to do, and, you know, people, I've heard it said that, oh, you know, that's the day, or you're making you're making that based on, you know, that those are things of the world. No, they're not things of the world. They're things that people, you know, should be doing throughout their life is making themselves, pushing themselves. And our society does not want to push themselves anymore. They don't want to get more done now than they want than they did before. They want to do less and less and less. And I see this just all over the place. Is people have gotten lazy, and they want to do, you know, they complain about how much work it is. Oh, well, you know, that's going to take a little bit of time, or that's going to take some work. We're going to do it. Okay, it's going to take some work. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but we're going to get it done. And take action and take an initiative and getting stuff done. And that is something that is dwindling from society.
Well, I think that's really important to look yourself in the mirror and see what you can do, your weaknesses and your strengths and stuff like that. And it's called self-examination is what it is. And I think that's the key to what's going on because, you know, Pastor Peter's tried to preach to the world and everything like that, and it really hasn't been that effective. But we don't know how effective it was. He made some huge differences, and that's that each one of us have to look at ourselves, like you said, to get rid of our weaknesses and build our strengths. And it's self-examination what it amounts to, and we all have to do that.
Yeah, and if people don't do that, then they don't see where that they're wrong or where they're lacking, then they can't improve themselves. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to improve ourselves. We're supposed to be a light into a dark world. And, you know, we can't do that if we're just coasting by and just floating down the stream of life and not doing our part. You know, there's people. I was talking with some people just recently, and you know, was in a position where, you know, could help them and tried to help them and wanted to help them and, you know, helped them with some advice and helped them with some other things. And you know, it came down to it where I just had to take a step back and stop and say, you know, it was because it's like I did not feel like I could help somebody that was not going to help themselves. I could, you know, sit there. They were trying to accomplish a goal, but they didn't want to put any effort into it. And I wasn't going to do it for them. And that's basically what they wanted, is they wanted somebody else just to come along and to do the hard part, and they wanted to reap the benefits of it. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. And that's the way a lot of people are, is they want to reap the benefits of it. They want, you know, to sit back and they think that, oh, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. God's going to do all these things for me. God's going to help those that help themselves.
Yeah, he's going to test you. You know, you know, and I think, you know, when you become a Christian, you think life's going to get easy. That's just about the last thing that happens. You know, you lose all your friends and everything, and you find out nobody's really interested. And it's for me, it was just a real test. But if you pass the test, you're stronger. But yes, you got to find out a person's motives. If they want a free ride, and there's plenty of that. There was a family not too far from here, just took advantage of the church and everything. You know, they never did plan on getting ahead. I mean, you know, they're just trying to see, playing these people's do-good attitude. And that's one thing the church can do. It can clean the welfare system real fast when they find a doofless person that won't work, where Social Security just keeps sending them checks. They don't even know, don't even care, because it's really not no one's money. So it's not self-cleaning. And that's where the church should come in and be a self-cleaning. You know, like you said, yeah, you'll help them, work with them. If they prove to be doofless and don't want to do nothing, just walk away. Let them suffer, you know. It's their choice. So.
Yeah, and Paul, we see the...
This whole religious thing has made us really stupid when it comes to dealing with people. Well, you don't mean that. Well, yeah, he does mean that.
Yeah, so many have just become used to that. Like you said, that welfare system has grown so much in this nation that you've... And again, we're kind of out in the rural areas. You don't see it as much here. But in the cities, it is, of course, higher populations and quite a bit more. But... you've got so many that have just become used to that, and whole systems in the government, whole departments that are dependent on that, and of course those in the government just want to continue to add to those numbers. And it is. It just, like you said, Jason, it does not, it really doesn't benefit. You know, the help system that's set up, that was set up originally in this country was to do that very thing, to give a little help to those that needed it for a short amount of time. It was never meant to be a way of life. And we have families and communities that are second and third generation on the government. And it's just not supposed to be that way. And it certainly doesn't grow and yield you know, the type of Christian Republic America that we desire, but the destruction of it. And you know, I've talked to people that were on welfare or food stamps or whatever for a short time, maybe while they were down, while they were maybe recovering, you know, from an injury or something like that. And, you know, but they weren't planning on being on it forever. And they got off. You know, it was just a help for now. But Paul, you've mentioned it before that it's taken the place of the church. The people in the church have absconded that, you know, done away with that responsibility. They don't want it anymore. And it just is not a good, it's not a good result. It's just not at all. Saw a blurb that, Newsom in California said, California will give, full benefits to any, immigrant that makes it to California. And, you know, how does he do that? He takes the benefits away from the people that are there paying taxes and just loads more and more and more on them and offers the world. It's like when the Bible says, you know, when they cry out peace, peace, you better be looking around, because it ain't peace, it's the sword. And that's just where it is. It truly is.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it goes back to Samuel. God wants Christian self-government where you can regulate yourself. And that's what he wants, and that was what the whole issue there made Samuel sick to his stomach. And God says, the rebellion's not against you, Samuel, it's against me. And that's what it is. The government has nothing to give you that it didn't take from somebody else. Or even worse now, they just create out of thin air. Yeah, he wants Christian self-government, that you can actually regulate yourself and quit looking to the government for our answers. They have no answer except the more certificates to finance your whatever it is that you do. So, and that's what it amounts to, in my opinion. I mean, you know, I tithe and God has taken care of me forever. You know, we always think you use a little more, but I always had enough. So, and you got to be content with what you have, too. And God has blessed me many times when it was very unbelievable what happened, you know. And only you know that. Testing. Tithe. He said he'd take care of you, tithe. And that's the bottom line. And no matter how much you got, you will have enough. Don't steal from him.
Yeah, amen. You know, and it's interesting because I've seen people that, you know, fight that and fight that and fight that, and I've seen those, you know, so many of those people that they've just struggled and struggled and struggled, you know, and they never have enough, and you know, they don't have, you know, the devourer is not rebuked, and that's one of the promises that we have when we do that, you know, and when we tithe, it's, you know, over the years, you just see how, and you know, it makes no sense to, you know, it's something that you can't understand if you don't have faith. But how can I understand that 90% goes farther than 100%? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And there doesn't make any sense, you know, scientifically at all. And it's something that can only be obtained through faith.
Amen.
Well,
to that.
When you get a hold of it, nothing else does make any sense.
That's right.
That's what it amounts to. Who gets to run the show, God or you? When he says something, it's into the matter. You know, he told us in Malachi, you steal from me, you save your tithes, you know, and he don't need the money. You need to give it to test your faith.
Yeah.
He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, you know, he told us it's all in Deuteronomy. How do you have a good life or a stressful one? It's up to you. Choose life and live, or choose death and die. And that's what you got to do, is look in the mirror too, and you know, what am I doing wrong or what am I doing right? You know, but so many people just play this system and the stock market and interest and usury, and I mean, we're this thing is spiraling now, and I think the day is coming. It don't matter how much money you got. Ain't going to be worth nothing. So it's really not too far away.
Yeah, be ready.
You know, I was reading in Jeremiah the other day, and I've run out of something that's really quite exciting. Isaiah 32, verse 34, And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least and then to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And then you go into that Ezekiel, where the valley of dry bones, he says, then Israel will know who I am once and for all. And I think this kind of ties right in with that. I mean, that's going to come, because everybody's going to know. When this is done, everybody's going to know who's who. And I don't think it's too far away, personally.
No, not at all. Well, remember, Remnant, we are, as we come out of another calendar year, 2023, it's almost gone. And you'll have to remember 2024 to write that down. But we are, in light of all that's before us, we are to persevere through whatever trials we have. We don't go through them alone. And we are to endure. We have, when hardships come or trials or tribulations, we endure through it. We endure through it. And to be overcomers, that's what the word tells us. You know, he who overcomes, we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we are to be overcomers. And not everybody gets it, but Pastor taught that, you know, the greatest thing you need to be an overcomer is something to overcome. And God will see to it, if you choose to follow him and you start making these right decisions, he will see to it that you have the opportunity to have things to overcome. But it's for our benefit. It helps us. And, you know, we're here at the end of the calendar year. We have to, lots went on this year, but focus not only on these things that happened, but to be prepared for what's coming. And you guys mentioned it both, you know, that we start that by taking a good hard look at our lives. That's how we do it. You can't change the world, but you can change you. And that can change the world. And so we take a good hard look at our lives, at our walk, at our Christian walk, what we're doing, what we're not doing. And and like you mentioned, Jason, it may be New Year's resolutions. It's not that those things are evil, not at all. It's a good time, a good opportunity to do your best to develop better habits, to decide. And it's a lot easier to say, I'm going to add this instead of I'm not going to do this anymore. And so, you know, if you're eating too many cookies, you might say, hey, I'm going to plan on eating better. And it's like that with the word. Hey, I'm going to read the Bible instead of watching CNN. Whatever it takes. You know, the word reminds us we are sheep among wolves. We see that. And, you know, to to survive through that, we can't do it on our own. We have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. We've got to, there's going to be victors, and it ain't going to be this Babylonian system. But it's not going to be those mugwumps either that are sitting on the fence with one foot in the world, you know, playing that stock market and trusting in that, and then one foot on the other side of the fence, you know, in church on Sunday, dropping a $10 bill in the plate. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I do this. I do that. Those people, that's not where victory is going to be. Not at all. It is a good time here at the end of the year to look at your life to say, hey, this is what needs to change. And then to pray about it and to change. It is. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul and Jason. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow. And Remnant, we encourage you. You can join us at church tomorrow starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, we'll have the live video stream. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a new message for you, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion and to not forsake the assembly, even if it's just right there in your living room. So we hope you'll join us again, scripturesforamerica.org. And Remnant, know that we pray for you. We pray for the Remnant, for our church family, our local church family, and our extended church family. We do that. And we hope you pray for us. We ask you to pray for us here at Scriptures for America. We hope you've had a blessed year, and we hope you look to the Lord for this next year as well. If there's anything we can do for you, you contact us, and we'll be glad to do that. God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus...